Good. We haven't really moved even the B-19s yet.
Well, we moved this into the B-19. That's appropriate.
What?
And move them into the B-19.
I don't think so.
And you can hold them in reserve.
Okay, anything else?
Madam Chair.
Yes?
I went through this sort of as a scrivener.
Okay, and
today.
I want to say something to the folks who offered yet another amendment to these with IDs and that kind of thing. And I want to say to you that I don't think we're prepared to embark on yet another addition beyond sort of what we've done here. And I want to say thank you for your interest, but I really don't think we can get into some of those broader questions that have been, I think, discussed there. And if they haven't, this committee is not in a position to do. We're trying to just sort of manage what we have in front of us here and try not to get too far off into the new areas. Thank you. Senator Schumacher.
I went through this draft today after I received it to give it another reading. And I, as I always do, found a number of things, none of substance.
Okay. Well, I guess.
Sort of further cleanup, and I'd just like to give these to Jack with a suggestion that he use his own good judgment.
I want to stop you. What other major issues are here to be resolved, Jack, in the B-19? Should we decide to adopt the B-19 amendments with a proviso that we go back and rework them in the morning with non-technical kinds of changes that either Jack would find or
Bob would
find?
I'd say they're technical changes, but they're not substantive changes.
Right, that's
they're
what I'm talking
corrections.
About. Corrections. That's what I'm talking about, non-policy questions. If that were the case, I'd like to, you know, I want to go through and adopt the B-19 well, I'll call it in concept form and then have you clean it up and then meet one final time in the morning so people can flag some other things and get back to Jack with any kind of technical changes that you find between now and early morning so that Jack can...
Now and early morning.
Well, I mean, people who have an interest in this bill who are following it for months and months and months, certainly, you know, I'd expect that they can go home and read it for another hour or so and find things up they've been reading, right? I mean, some of us will have to do that yet tonight on a bunch of issues, not necessarily this one. But, so I guess that's my invitation, folks, that if you want to read this over and flag things for Jack, we would... inviting you to do so. And I think the question, do we have any policy questions that need to be resolved? The misdemeanor is out altogether, is that where we are? Or
we haven't decided.
That is that the one remaining big policy question, Jack? Before we lose a quorum?
That is one of the remaining.
One or one. Which one, which other one do we have?
It depends, well, if we're talking about the draft, that's probably the only one. If we're talking about the bill, there's, for instance, the policy question of whether you want to extend this to firearms in general or just leave it at present law, concealable firearms. That's a major issue in the
well,
bill
I,
as it
comes
to
I'm
us.
Not sure. I think Corey needs to come up on that one. I think that's a major... I think that would take everything the working group's been interested in altogether on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know who... Okay, Corey, come on up.
We haven't even given that any thought. We'd all have to get back together. My guess is, from our end, that would change things.
I'm that interested in doing that.
Right. Yeah, that's an up or downer.
Anything else, Jack, of that nature? You would.
Okay. I would. But that's
okay. John? We have people here who would like to just take out all firearms and leave it the way the current law is with dealing with concealed weapons, and I'm sure that would really destroy people's... Apparently, I don't want to make that kind of change.
No, I won't insist on that. That's my sentiment, but if that's, as you say, that's a major change and not consistent.
I mean, that's like nothing left in the bill, hardly, I think. John, you want to come and comment on that?
Madam Chair, John Nichols. taking everything out and just leaving the concealed weapons permit section? Is that what?
No.
Leaving the prohibitions against felons possessing firearms at concealable weapons as present law is.
I just think you can't do that.
Let's just not even get into it.
When we were going through the bill, you recall that I identified that as the major policy change that this bill does.
Okay, well, we're not interested in changing the major policy change.
Right.
Okay. Anything else?
I guess the one decision that we have in the draft is the special treatment for the crime of possession of marijuana. In the bill, that exemption was deleted in the draft. It's back in.
Oh, I'd like to leave it out. Oh, the exemption. Oh, it's back in as an exemption.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's just leave it.
Okay.
Anything else? We have the question of the misdemeanor. In what portion, folks?
As far as the misdemeanors come into play when you're talking about prohibitions against ownership of weapons and the crimes of possession of the weapons, whether that is going to be a disability that subjects a person to, whether we're going to use that as a disability and therefore the person is subjected to criminal sanctions.
Okay, Senator Shoemaker, do you want to spend some time this evening thinking about your thought process that said leave in violent misdemeanors and sort types of felonies, or do you think that's too complicated for us to even address? I mean, I just want to close that one off.
Well, I think that's another one of these up or downers that there's a release valve, which is the recourse to the court on an expedited proceeding to relieve a person of a qualification, and their view is that that's adequate to take care of the nonviolent felony convictions, and I'm willing to leave that alone.
Okay. So we're going to leave that alone. We're now down to the question of the violent A misdemeanors. The Jack list. Nobody wants to go beyond the Jack list.
And I'm perfectly happy to put those in. It's not a big drafting problem.
I guess the question, do we want to check this one by people? You want to have a... the question is, do you want to send this bill out tonight in concept form? Do you want to meet again tomorrow? Deal with the misdemeanor question? Do we want to have Vera and everybody else have a chance to look at it before we send it out? Or do we want to vote to send it out in concept?
We've got the votes to send it out, do we?
We don't have the votes.
I might have them tomorrow, but
I think you're going to need the full committee to.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd adopt.
I don't think it's far beyond. Okay, let's give Jack a chance to clean it up. Let's sleep overnight on the misdemeanor question. He has a frown. Look, all you have to do is read it one more time, Jack.
You got a big bonus for you, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm going to invite you to the signing.
Okay, we'll take up again tomorrow. Let's talk about taking up again tomorrow. Well, can we try 9 o'clock?
That's when we go in.
That's a session.
Is that when we go in?
I've got 8 o'clock conference and 8:30 conference and then 9 o'clock session.
We have an 8 o'clock conference.
I know that we have an 8 o'clock conference, so I wouldn't expect that that's going to take
very long. You're picking the excuse
one for. We can work out for a good reason. We've got to finish up the gun bill. I know that.
Oh, okay. All right.
We don't have a lot to say there.
Good. All right. That's good. I'll sleep better.
Springer, you got an 8:30?
I've got an 8 and an 8:30.
Well, let's say we're going to get back in at 9 and get excused from session and see where we are. Jack, that gives you time to sort of clean things up. Yeah. Okay, we'll recess. Can we recess overnight?
Yeah.
We'll recess until 9 in the morning. And look over the drafts, and by then we'll... Jack, can you kind of get it... Let's come back to order. Somebody, we ought to send a minesweeper out for Grinsky, who may or may not be in who may or may not be in the conference committee on sentencing guidelines. And I don't know where Brockman is. But we need to call Brockman's office and make sure that he's aware that we're having this meeting, because I'm kind of, they adjourned the House, the Senate, before I got the announcement made. So. Thank you. Okay, there we go, Jack. Jack has been working with people one more time last night and this morning.
There is a second draft, Madam Chair. I don't believe there are any substantive changes in it. There are
people,
no intentional substantive changes.
People in the audience have had a chance to look at it, and I have checked it over, it's my understanding, and so... Okay, and we'll want you to get up and say that, if you would, please, when the time comes. Do we have the folks from law enforcement here who want to get up and say that, who are willing to get up and say that, too? Do we have anyone from law enforcement here? Okay. Well, you don't need it right now. I just want to make sure if we have to do a sweep for someone who isn't here to be here when we get them kind of rounded up. We need to get Corey here. Actually, maybe we get better stuff. It's from the lounge, man.
Is it from the lounge?
If it's from the lounge, yeah. I'll break it.
I don't know where it's from.
Okay.
It's somewhere in the basement.
Right. Okay. the committee, and I appreciate folks who didn't want to stay and work on this thing last night, and it's important that we kind of fix it as best we can. Jack, do you want to call anything else to our attention?
Yes,
with respect,
Madam
to
Chair,
this draft?
A couple of issues.
Okay.
If I can find this thing. We, on the form...
What page are we
on? I'm trying to figure that out. Oh, page 21, lines 26 and 27. One of the things that Senator Shoemaker, Representative Mannix, and I did was insert language that says, you'll see on line 26, it says competence of a handgun demonstrated by blank. We added to be filled in by sheriff. There's a question raised about the intent of that. Our intent, and Senator Shoemaker can correct me if I'm wrong, was not to make really a substantive change. In other words, we're not saying that the sheriff is to set some competency standard. All we're saying is that it's the sheriff or his employee or agent that fills in the blank, because otherwise we're presuming that the sheriff understands the statutory criteria, and we didn't want the citizen filling in that blank and not realizing there were a list of programs that would meet the criteria, because what you'd have is somebody being at a loss and writing in something like, I shoot cans in my backyard all the time. So that's all that means.
Is this one of the areas that led to the inclusion of the language about liability? I mean, because presumably the sheriff is making a judgment call at this point. The sheriff's not just a scrivener. I mean, not just writing in, oh yeah, this person says their competence is demonstrated by X, Y, or Z, but presumably is the sheriff making a judgment?
Well, the sheriff is making a judgment in the sense, Senator, that he's
as
listening
opposed to just being a scrivener and recording what's...
He's listening to what the person, the applicant, tells him and looking at the list of qualifications for getting it and seeing if they match up. What I'm trying to say
is make clear that the sheriff isn't free to set his own competency standards. I'm not sure if that answers your question or not.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I think it necessarily involves a judgment call by the sheriff.
He's more than a scrivener, but
I think what Senator Springer is saying is, do the liability portions that we adopted earlier cover this area? And it probably should, right?
Well, I'm thinking that the sheriff's probably, I don't know if there's a representative of the sheriff's here today, but, you know, my guess is that that's what they intended or would want to have apply if they're in good faith, however they determine to rely upon those representations.
Yes, if they said somebody was competent and then the person came back and that they'd been appropriately trained and they shot themselves in the foot and they said, my God, the sheriff said I was qualified to have this gun.
Well, yeah, they're going to say, yeah, the sheriff certified that I'm competent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what. But it's pretty clear, I think, that our exemption from liability, Jack, would also include this issue.
I think that's correct.
Okay, well, that record is helpful, I think, for those folks, if for nobody else.
Okay.
And again, they're really not certifying competency. They're just the ones that we've appointed to fill in the blanks so we don't get some wild answers that don't have anything to do with anything.
Okay. Are we clear of what we're talking? Not enough discussion on that issue. I think that is okay. Anything else, Jack?
The conflict amendment, Madam Chair. I think we adopted that already. I'm not sure if that does what we want it to do.
Okay, let's unadopt it. Chair would move that we unadopt the conflict amendment, which was otherwise stated as a B21 amendments.
The conflict amendment, as it's written. If 3470 passes, it would repeal the section in 2513 that where we drop the requirement that the sheriff fingerprint folks every time they get their license renewed. And we need a conflict amendment to make these things jive, but I think we want 2513 to be effective.
Right, and if 2513 goes, it's still sort of hanging out there in the conference committee. I'm the chair of somebody over in the House, and I've told the folks who are interested in the drive-by shooting bill that they better figure out when and how they're going to get the Senate would probably recede from those amendments, but that committee has never been scheduled. I talked to the Speaker yesterday and Representative Mason, and he said it's up to Representative Calhoun, and somebody better sort that out if they want to have the drive-by shooting bill. It's got to be dealt with in a conference committee momentarily. So I don't know what you all want to do. It's a side issue, and because that's the only forum I have right now, if the people care about it, they've got to get that one moving. And I don't think the Senate is necessarily wedded to the fingerprint part. It's one of the bills that Senator Grinsky was interested in. But certainly, the House needs to at least get a conference committee scheduled on 2513, is it, or something like that.
Madam Chair, I also wanted to raise the issue with that conflict amendment that because of the preemption language, because of the state has discharging firearms statutes, that we have to look real closely at what the interplay of 2513 in its original form is with the preemption language with the current statutes to make sure that jives as well.
Okay, but you ought to do that in conference committee, not in this bill.
Well, in the way that the conflict amendment is addressed, I'm not sure that issue is addressed.
Right.
And so I'm saying that if you're going to deal with conflict amendments, the impact of 2513 as originally written also has to be considered as well as the conflict amendments because of the fingerprinting thing. So there's really two sets of conflict amendments in 2513 as they jive with 3470.
Okay. But they can do it in 2513, and that's where we ought to address it. And if you could help us along, Holly, with getting that one figured out over there on 2513, that would be helpful.
I would, but I just wanted to point out that I don't think that this conflict amendment takes care of the 2513 problem vis-a-vis the preemption language in here.
Okay. So for the moment, do I have any objections in us not disapproving if you say the B21 amendments reversing our order to adopt them as of last night? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, Jack, what else?
Throughout the bill, you'll see a number of changes. As I said, I don't believe any of these are substantive. These are a combination of things suggested by Senator Shoemaker, and as I was going through his corrections, several that I caught myself. I can go through those if the committee feels the need, or...
No, I don't think we need to do that.
I would point out on page 8, if the committee is interested in looking at these at all, page 8, ignore the marks that I've made. I started correcting this section, this is the form section, I started correcting it, not realizing that the entire thing is going to be deleted. The way it's bracketed, it wasn't initially clear to me that this is the old form that's being dumped. So,
okay.
What I'm saying is that's coming out of there anyway, ignore the marks.
Just be sure you say that to the council.
Yeah, I will. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can think of that's really noteworthy as I've gone through and in those places where they talk about disqualifications to have firearms being lifted under the state relief and federal relief, I've also gone through and made consistent to make that expungement does that as well. That was the intent. We've already talked about that once. I think Senator Shoemaker had a couple of notes.
Yeah.
Okay, there are two big issues yet to be resolved, I think.
I've got a bunch of little ones, if I could just...
Can you just do the little ones with Jack?
Well...
In concept form? As cleanup?
Some of them I can.
Okay, do the little ones. The grammatical things you can deal with Jack later.
I understand. No, these are not of that nature. On page 4, we provide here that it's unlawful for any division of state government to compile or maintain information on lawful purchases of firearms, and that the firearm identification information shall be used only to determine if a firearm is stolen or has been used in the commission of a crime. Then it says any public employee who intentionally violates this paragraph is guilty of a Class C felony, and it struck me that that's a little bit of overkill. Be backed up to misdemeanor. But I'm offering that, I guess, as an amendment. It's not one that I feel strongly enough about to.
Well, I would say I think that's Corey. You want to come up, and John. This is one that I think, in some form, would be important to NRA type folks or people who were interested in making sure that registries were private. Corey?
Madam Chair, Corey McGregor, Speaker's Office again. That reduction would not be a problem from our perspective.
Okay.
Madam Chair, John Nichols, Oregon State Rifle and Pistol Association. I believe the law enforcement community bought off on that particular penalty, but I wish Sheriff Burks were here, but...
Well, I guess it's not, I'm sure they would buy off. They don't care whether you increase penalties, they think it's fine, it's just us who have to pay for them.
Yeah.
So that's probably
we wouldn't make a big issue of it at this point.
Okay, that's fine.
I'll move we reduce that to Class A.
Class A, okay. Senator Grinsky?
Not to Senator Shoemaker's amendment, but since I wasn't present during the discussions yesterday evening, has the NRA ever testified in front of this committee? Have they?
Absolutely.
Huh? Yeah. John, you want to come in and see whether you, in fact,
did they,
are...
They weren't here last night?
Deal with this, or...
They were?
Well, we already dealt with it.
They didn't adopt it.
Yes, we did. There was no objections?
No.
Oh.
We didn't care.
Okay.
Oh.
Are there objections to changing it to misdemeanor?
Not really.
Okay. A.
What's this
about? A. It's an A. It's jail time.
Okay.
Madam Chair, John Nichols, Senator Grinsky, the question was, has the NRA bought off on this bill, essentially?
Well, no, I was curious if the NRA has ever testified in front of this committee. And then a second question would be, have they seen this bill that I have in front of me with some of the amendments that we're talking about this morning?
The NRA has not testified in front of this committee. This draft was faxed to, or rather the one version of this draft, minus the handwritten mm-hmm. corrections was faxed to Richard Gardner, who is an attorney for the NRA and the head of the State and Local Affairs Department yesterday. He read the draft. I talked to him after he had read the draft, and he talked to Mr. Morris on the phone and offered some minor changes, which I believe are incorporated in some of those handwritten corrections. And they are in, they have told me they are in agreement with this draft.
Do they normally come to hearings and testify on bills that affect gun control?
Madam Chair, Senator Grinsky, there was a problem with scheduling. The normal liaison for this area was at his 20th year high school reunion in the state of Maine, and there wasn't, by the time this hearing was set up, there wasn't time to get somebody else in. So it had to be done by phone. But they do have a copy of the draft in their possession, and they told me on the phone they approved of it.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I was actually going to raise the same issue that Senator Grinsky raised. I remember I wrote, I think it was an 85 session, there was a bill that I thought was pretty innocuous about dealing with firearms, and shortly thereafter, there was a lawyer from Washington, D.C. from the NRA who came to visit me in my office about the bill. And I have to say, at least just for the record, I think it's fairly peculiar that we have a piece of legislation that is truly momentous and will attract and has attracted national attention, and yet we have not had one individual who is a representative from the NRA to be here to testify on this bill. And I think just for the record, I think that should be noted, because of my, I think I have seen usually NRA get a lot, get very excited about issues that are a lot less momentous than this. And so for the record, we should at least note that they have not testified before this committee.
Madam Chair, Senator Hill, I agree with you. I requested an NRA person. It was strictly a scheduling problem that they couldn't get one here. For what it's worth, the Oregon State Rifle and Pistol Association is the authorized state affiliate of the National Rifle Association in the state of Oregon, and having spoken directly to the head of the state and local affairs, you know, I can just apologize for our national organization not being able to get a body here. But they were involved at every meeting of the working group and testified, or were at, in attendance and testified, I believe, at all but about the last two or so of the House committee hearings on the thing. I realize that that was the House and this is the Senate, but...
And John, isn't there, in, Madam Chair?
Yes,
Senator. Isn't there in fact someone from the NRA from Sacramento who has been going around the building talking to people?
Yes, Senator Hill, that's David Marshall is the current liaison. And he is the individual who is on vacation in Maine to his 20th high school reunion. He will be back the 10th. I think one of the problems is they didn't realize that things were being used to dealing with the California legislature and some of the legislatures that are full time. When I talked to Richard Gardner yesterday, I said, "This is it. They're closing down." He says, "Huh?"
So he's. When did this gentleman leave? I mean, as I did not find out he was here until I spoke to the minority, Senate Minority Leader, who said this gentleman had been around to visit him. Madam Chair, not to delay.
About 2 weeks he's been gone.
Okay, that's
I have just was handed a copy of their letter of endorsement, and I understand that there should have been an individual letter from the NRA to each senator stating their position, signed by David Marshall. I don't know whether that...
Okay, the other question is that we want to get... I'm interested in getting some acknowledgments on the record that what we're doing here does not disrupt or destroy their support or change their support for the record. I guess that's where I want to have something, because I don't want to be charged with having this committee make some amendments that in one way or another would cause them to no longer be supportive of the bill. And I need, that's what we're looking at. Jack might not want to have a comment. He has been in telephone contact. Okay.
My conversation with Mr. Gardner, is it?
Gardner.
Yesterday. The essence of his comments were that the draft that Senator Shoemaker and I worked on was better than the bill as it came to us.
Madam Chair.
And that's as far as, I'll leave it at that.
Madam Chair, Richard Gardner, for the record, stated exactly the same thing to me, that he said the draft was much better than the one passed out of the House.
Madam Chair. I'm going to just make one quick comment, and then I'm not going to speak to it again, but my assessment is the same as Senator Hill's. I've found these people to be incredibly interested and involved in very mundane issues. We have a huge gun control bill in front of us that's going to change things in Oregon in a way never before even attempted to this stage, and we're hearing stuff about high school reunions, and they can't show up. I find this incredible from an organization that was unbelievably involved from day one in every aspect of anything relating to gun control, and I'm extremely...